Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to The Art of Image. I'm Dan Phillips. This program is focused on personal image development. These shows will discuss topics ranging from custom tailoring to business attire to communication and everything in between. Stay tuned. This is The Art of Image.
Thanks for joining us here in San Francisco. Today is November 20th, 2010. Parker, are you there?
I am here. It's cool in Atlanta. People walking around wearing scarves and coats, and we're all excited.
Well, great. It is, I got to tell you, you're talking to me about cold. It is extremely cold where I am right now. I'm in the studio, the AOI studio right now. And look at this. I've got a wool blanket on and mittens, and I'm indoors.
Well, how cold is it there?
You know, it's right now. I'm looking at the studio temperature gauge, and it's 48 degrees.
Oh my Lord, that's not cold.
Isn't that something? And yesterday it was actually, you know, the sun was out. It was pleasant. I don't know what's going on with the weather, but it's really unusual.
It's that typical time of year, you know, typical time of year. This is my favorite time. I like cold weather and like wearing all the clothes that come along with it, you know.
Yeah. So how's your week been, Parker? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Well, we had a lot of changes. I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you in our brief conversations, but. We moved our office this week. We're moving to a new location because we're opening an office in Brazil. And,
oh wow!
Ricardo, he actually got we got a contract down there working with an organization and doing image and branding for businesses. So basically, go into these businesses and see what they need from a perspective, give them a report, and then the organization fulfills those needs at a cost. So he just was supposed to be gone for 2 months, be back on the 8th, but we just got another contract. Now he's going to be gone until after the holidays. And then next year, the way it's looking is he's going to be gone for 9 months next year. So we're going to get an office down there probably somewhere in Rio or São Paulo.
That sounds like great locations.
They are great locations.
Yeah.
And so we're really excited about that. So a lot of changes in the last 30 days, a lot of changes, and I think a lot more to come as well. Have you been down to Brazil before?
No, never. I'd love to go.
It's an awesome
Awesome
experience. We took Jennifer Hawkins, she was Miss Universe from Australia, down there for 2 weeks to kind of market the company and get the name out there. And we spent 3 days with the vice president and his wife doing fundraisers, went to private islands. We were on private yachts, kind of like yacht hopping like they do in the south of France. And it was very surreal for me. It was a great experience. Great. It's a beautiful country. The people are awesome all around the place. So we have to get down there sometime. We should actually do an interview with Ricardo and talk about what the trends are in terms of image and branding in South America, there specifically in Brazil, because, you know, their country is doing so well. They're independent of oil. They're the largest exports of soybean. They're a very self-sufficient country, and there's a lot of movement toward the image and branding in Brazil. So we should try to set up something sometime.
Oh, absolutely. You'll have to get me Ricardo's contact information. I'll get a hold of him.
Well, I'll give you his local number for you, and I don't know if any of the listeners are listening, but have they ever heard of the Magic Jack? It's the best invention since sliced bread. Have you heard about that?
No, what's that?
It's you find it on TV. You find it in Best Buys. I think you can get it at Kmart. I'm not sure who's all selling it, Walmart. But it's basically you order it for $40, and you put it into your computer. It's over the internet, voice internet. And it's free long distance. It's free everything voicemail. Your voicemails come right to your email. You can listen it from your iPod or iPad or email. And it's so what Ricardo did was took it down to Brazil, sticks it into his computer, plugs the phone in. I call a local number. It's like calling local for free.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It is amazing.
That sounds like something I definitely would could use.
For anybody who's flying international out there, you should go to Magic Jack. I'm sorry that I can't make commission on that because I'm a firm believer in the product.
Okay.
So what else is going
Parker,
on? I heard you had a report.
Absolutely. The report is this. You know, I usually go through Google, do my internet surfing. It's something I just love doing. And while doing that, you know, I found a Bloomberg Business Week article that I thought was just something that would be perfect for the show. And the title of it is Why Etiquette Schools Are Thriving. And underneath that it says, the fact is today's young professionals need to be told how to dress and act. And, you know, without going through the entire article at length, I just want to highlight certain points here. That it discusses, and one of them relates to Facebook. And essentially what it's saying here is that, you know, young people going on Facebook, and even people who are not so young, you know, going on Facebook, you know, putting pictures there that are really unbecoming of them, that are not professional, having an impact on their employment. You know, people getting fired from putting inappropriate photos, and people just, you know, having trouble finding their next job. And so the article stresses the importance of not doing those things. And it also talks about dress. And I will read this. Here is a brief excerpt on this portion of the article. It relates to dress. It says, offline, poor wardrobe choices are the most common millennial trouble spot. The biggest complaint I've heard is that young women are dressed like they're going to a club, says Ecker.
Mm-hmm.
Even companies with casual dress standards can have clothing confrontations. When Gregory Duncan attended an intern open house at Google, the receptionist asked him to wear a Google open house intern T-shirt. Duncan asked him if she was joking. She wasn't. She said that she was on to me, he recalls, and that I was disrespectful. I emailed her to apologize and said I'd be happy to have a meeting and take her thoughts about that into consideration. She didn't write me back. But just those are some things that seem to be very prevalent today that I think a lot of young people graduating from college need to just really focus in on these things, because I think they've grown up using the computer in, you know, very casual ways, but it's kind of beginning to haunt them, so to speak. Well, what thoughts do you have about that?
It's interesting because I just got back from my chiropractor, and he's not a computer guru at all. And I said, well, do you have a website yet? And because I thought about an interview with him talking about the body and chiropractors and the myths about them, because I've been using them for years in terms of body language, you know, how you walk better, stand up better. And he was saying how he realized if he doesn't get on the social media side of things of the internet, he's going to be out of business. And even in the early 90s, if you didn't have a computer and wasn't going to be on a computer, you were going to be out of business. Imagine doing business today without a computer. And, you know, and so it's the same thing. You know, the X, Y, and Z generation, because the economy is so tight, what's happening is that there are a lot more people and fewer jobs. So it makes it a lot more competitive. So you got to do everything in your power. So if you've got, you know, if you got the same qualifications as someone else, but they're dressed more efficiently or more effectively, their behavior, the way they act and how they treat, they're going to come to the front of the line. And I think what's happening is too, some of this the younger baby boomers and the X generation are now starting into the management and running these companies, and they also see they've got to create some kind of guidelines. I remember the early 90s when Business Casual came about, one of our clients said to us, they can just kind of wear what they want to wear. And after about 5 years later, they came back and said, we made a big mistake. You know, it's like in our society. I've said this before. We have laws in our society to keep people consistent and respectful and know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And we've got to get that back in the workplace. And for the younger generation, it's not their fault. It's our fault because we haven't taught.
Exactly. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the article does mention that, you know, oftentimes we blame that individual, but oftentimes I think really that needs to go back to the parents.
Well, and it's like in my business when I'm working with someone, and I've seen my competitors do this to other people, sit there and critique them and evaluate them and tear them apart in front of their peers. I'm like, you can't do that. I can't hold you accountable if you've never been taught what the rules are, you know?
Exactly.
So to get you in front of a group and embarrass you is unacceptable. But more importantly, it's more unacceptable for me to expect you to be an expert. It's like, you know, I'm not the left brain accounting person. I cannot do all that accounting stuff. You know, if I did that stuff, it would be a big mess. But, you know, somebody can't come in and say, you know, you're awful at this until at least they show me how to add 1 + 1 = 2. You see?
No.
So I think it's really important that we take responsibility.
I mean, absolutely.
And Dan, I'll tell you something else, too.
Yeah?
Well, I was just going to say, companies are seeing it now. Companies are starting to, with this whole economy thing, they can only use this for an excuse for so long. Oh, we don't have the money. We don't have the funding. What's happening is if they don't start, the employees are getting bored. Like one of my clients this past week, they haven't trained in 2 years. And in order for a company to keep the talent, they got to train them, keep them going, because people that are in those roles, they thrive on that. They thrive on learning and training and development, being the best. Because your leaders, a lot of your leaders are what they call individualistic, and they always want to win. Well, how are you going to win? You got to know what the current information is, all that. So companies now, they don't start training their people, they're going to lose the talent. They're going to lose their talent to the ones who are training and development.
Absolutely. That's how you drive business, you know, always at the forefront, knowing how to do things, how to know doing well, and how to really present that in the best light.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, Parker, I got an email. This is our email part of the show, and in our email bag this week, I got an email from a listener who listened to the show with Penny. If you remember the high-level executive show we did with Penny. And the question comes from Jane in Chicago. She's in upper management. And her question is, you know, your show with Penny really touched me, and I just wanted to know where to begin. How do I get started losing weight? And my answer to that is definitely you want to listen to the show we have today with Bronwyn Marmot, and we'll get a little bit more into that as we move along in the show. But I just want to know from you, Parker, because you did have some weight issues early on in life when you were a child. What thoughts come to mind with a question like basic questions like that?
Well, I think with our guest that's coming up, I think she hits on the whole premise of that. It's one of the questions I have for her. But I think the first step is you got to listen to that inner voice. When that inner voice says something's not right, you shouldn't be doing this, or, you know, and buy into that. And then you've got to make that conscious. It's got to be a conscious decision that I'm not going to eat, you know, the wrong foods anymore. A better conscious decision would be I now eat the best foods possible. I exercise on a regular basis. I think the first thing is you got to make a conscious choice. You are going to make a change. And the second thing is you got to figure out how's that change going to be implemented, not to stress you out. Like when I first moved to Atlanta back in the early mid-80s, I quit smoking cigarettes, I quit drinking, I started running, I started exercising. And after about 3 days, I was doing them all again because it was just too much to take off. You know, you got to do it in baby steps. So for a person to say, okay, first thing I'm going to do is really just make a decision and then figure out that plan and just start taking that baby steps. And it's a lot deeper than that, really. And I think that our guest today is going to help us get real clear on that.
And
I think,
right.
I think awareness
and so
is 98%.
I want to. Yes, absolutely. And so what I want to do now is introduce our first guest here on the show. And I'm so happy that she's going to be on with us today. Her name is Bronwyn Marmot. She's a best-selling and award-winning author, speaker, and success coach. She's the associate producer and one of the featured experts in the wildly successful documentary film, The Inner Way. And I'm hoping she's going to talk to us more about that particular film. I think she's got a website or a trailer on that film that we can all watch, but that should be exciting. But for nearly 10 years, Bronwyn works in the broadcasting industry. She's a former television news writer for KTLA in Los Angeles and a former television news anchor, reporter, and producer for an NBC affiliate in Oregon. She has a degree in broadcast journalism from the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. Her first book, The Food is a Lie, The Truth is Within, is an Amazon bestseller and winner of the Outstanding Book of the Year Award for Most Life-Changing. And she's took top honors out of 3,000 entrants worldwide for that book.
Wow,
today
we're honored to have her today.
I'm sorry?
I said that's wild. That's huge.
It is. It is huge. And today we're going to talk about an e-book that she has out. And the name of the e-book is called It's About You, Not the Food. And so we have some questions for her about that. So, Bronwyn Marmot, are you there?
Yes, I am, Daniel and Parker. How are you both?
Great. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Absolutely. How's the weather there? It's very chilly here.
Well, you know what? I'm actually visiting Los Angeles today. I'm from the Scottsdale area, Scottsdale, Arizona, and I'm here in Los Angeles, and it is drizzling and overcast, but still so beautiful and so much fun.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Bronwyn, I don't know why I keep doing that. It's Bronwyn Marmot.
It's Bronwyn Marmot.
Bronwyn Marmot. I got the accent in the wrong spot.
That's okay. I liked that French twist you added on to the Italian word.
Well, let's start with the first question for you, Bronwyn. The question I have is, I was reading that ebook. And in it, it was a captivating ebook. I felt like I was in another world, really. You did such a great job at your descriptions and going through the entire process, especially at the beginning of that book. I think it was page 19 where, and this just really was something else to experience. You said, and I'll describe it. It says, it was a moment of enlightenment seems to have just come to you. And it appears as though, you know, your experience came to you organically and naturally. And the part of the book that I want to read here, the excerpt that I want to read here, relates to you being in your house, and I think you were hungry. You were looking for something to eat. And you'd come across a package, I believe, of your young daughter's toddler cookies or crackers.
Yes.
And you're sitting there over the sink and eating these cookies, and as you said, stated in your book, like a ravenous animal over a sink. And at that point, what I want to ask you is, there are many people who have tried every weight loss program on the planet, and nothing seems to work for them. How can someone like this experience the epiphany and, you know, moment of complete understanding that you received? Is there a method to achieving what you have?
Well, that's a great question, Daniel. And first of all, I want everyone to know up front, I am no one special. Prior to that experience, I had struggled with my weight since childhood. And by the time I was 34 years old when this event occurred, I was obese. And this was after years of dieting and beating myself up through exercise and beating myself up with the way I ate and everything else. So when this experience happened to me, I was truly at my bottom. I was at the lowest of the low. There were thoughts prior to that experience where I just truly did not want to go on living anymore. And so when this happened on this day, when I went into the kitchen, and you know what? I really wasn't hungry per se for food. What I discovered was that I was just really trying to fill up a hole inside of me. And I thought all these years, and this was something that I had been doing since I was a little girl, was that the way to fill up that hole was with food. And because, you know, but, you know, food was my drug of choice. It could have been alcohol, it could have been drugs, but it food was my drug of choice. So on this day when I was looking for something to eat, and I had already cleared out my kitchen because I truly could not trust myself around food. I had come to the point where I had cleared everything out of my kitchen except my daughter's toddler cookies. So when I grabbed for the box and started eating, this I did feel, and I had this sense that I was like a wild, ravenous animal that couldn't stop eating even if I wanted to. And it was that epiphany. It was just kind of like, it was as if I was observing myself from outside of myself and watching me in the kitchen as I'm eating this food over this over the sink. And that broke my state. It was like something just, you know, came over me that said, these, and for the first time in my life, I heard voice this voice inside of me that said, go look at yourself in the mirror. Go look at yourself in the mirror. And I'm sitting there saying, what? Are you crazy? There's no way I'm going to go look at myself in the mirror. But, you know, the voice persisted. And I thought the more food that I would eat would squelch that voice. But it continued to whisper, go look at yourself in the mirror. So finally I grabbed the box and went over to the mirror. And I looked in, and I did not recognize the person looking back at me. I had tears streaming down my face, and I was just totally distorted and disfigured in the mirror. And when I, all of a sudden, I had the epiphany, I could not stop eating. I could not stop eating, even if I wanted to. And that is where I completely surrendered and let go, because everything up until that point I had been trying to control, and it only landed me depressed, overweight, and ready to leave this world. So I actually went down on my knees right then and there and yelled out, God, help me. Please help me. And it was in that moment that I felt this unconditional love. It was just this feeling that enveloped me. And it felt, it was coming from the inside. It wasn't something on the outside. It was in me that filled me up in a way food could never, ever do. And for the first time in my life, I felt satiated.
Barbara, I've got a question, Daniel, if I may. That right there, I mean, we could probably just talk for 100 hours just on that experience alone, quite honestly. You know, they always say, let go, let God. You know, that's one of the phrases. But I got an email from someone recently, and it said, let go or be dragged. You know, and you were being dragged. You know, we're all being, I think a lot of us are being dragged, whether it's drugs, alcohol, self-image issues, self-esteem issues, whatever it is, a lot of us are not letting go. And you hit on two things that I think is just the key around all of this process. That inner voice. So I'm going to ask you a few philosophical questions.
Okay.
Is that, you said the inner voice came from within. So I don't want to get too deep. So is that inner voice that you're hearing God, or are you feeling God, the spirit of God within you, or is it just part of who you are because you're part of that God? And was those voices always inside? Do you feel like that voice was always in there talking to you, and you finally just became one day conscious of it and aware? Was it always there, or do you think it just shows up?
Yes, I believe actually that all of us, every single one of us, has this inner voice. Up until the time that I had that experience, I chose to squelch that voice. I never was conscious about it, but if I would get an intuitive nudge or something, I would just immediately downplay it or minimize it or get scared and go, oh, no, I could never do that. Mm-hmm. But because I was so broken open in that in that setting, I had no choice but to listen to that voice, because I had come to know that everything I had tried out in the world was failing me. All my efforts, my best efforts on trying to control my weight, on trying to control my life. I mean, I had...
You just said...
Yes?
I'm sorry. You just said another key thing I think is important for people to understand. You said you were outside yourself trying to get all the solutions.
Exactly.
And when you, and if you try to live your life, you know, I tell people at the image classes I do all the time, don't let external factors determine who you are.
Yes.
You have to look within and trust that spirit within, because that's who you truly are. And I think that's the key thing for people to get here, is that when you quit looking without for the answers and start looking within, there's it's always been there. We're just not hearing it until all of a sudden, you know, I heard something related to one time, you know, God or the universe speaks to you with a little tap or a little bumper, fender bumper, and one day you get a 2x4 hit over the head, you know, and that was your 2x4.
Exactly.
Right?
And in answer to your earlier question, it truly was the voice, I believe, the voice inside of me is my inner spirit. It's my highest and best self. You know, some people may call it God, which I do, and it may be called the universe, whatever, whatever you describe it, but it's that inner voice that just wants the highest and best for you, that wants you living in the utmost joy and happiness and health.
Interesting. Interesting.
Well, sorry, guys, there. I got a little bit, there's a little technical difficulty there, but I'm back on the air.
Okay, I thought somebody got dropped there. I thought, well, okay.
Yeah, I got
I knew it wasn't Bronwyn because I could hear her and she could hear me, so I figured it was you and you'd come back to us somewhere.
Welcome back.
Dan, we're just talking about how, I'm not sure we got broken off, but we're just talking about that inner voice that she heard and how she recognized it and became conscious of it and things like that. And I think that my next question kind of there, if I may, is really about how do you respond to that voice? In other words, how did you heard the voice that was inside your head, you're conscious of it, you started making different choices then because you were looking within. What was the next process for you?
Well, the next process was me becoming to really trust this inner voice, because first I had the very first step is like I faced myself, and it was facing myself in the mirror. And then it was to imagine a different life for me. What would it look like if I wasn't obsessed with food, if I wasn't addicted to this, if I truly was feeling my emotions? And then the third thing was to trust. And it's great. It's an acronym called FIT, F-I-T, face yourself, imagine yourself, and trust yourself. So the trusting, really trusting that voice, that truly was the next step because, you know, again, all my life I had been squishing down that voice. I had been minimizing it. So I had to come and trust it, and I would test it in certain areas. Like, for instance, you know, I would hear inside me saying, put on your shoes, get on your shoes and socks, and let's go for a walk. And I'd be like, what? You know, and I would test it, and then I would say, okay, and then I would just go along with it. Because, again, at this point, I had surrendered. I was done trying to make up my own path here. So by doing that, you know, here I was obese, and I could barely walk a block. So the first day, I got my shoes and socks on, and I started walking. And I really, over time, began really enjoying walking because I would take my daughter out on her stroller. So I began to, again, trust that inner voice. And then I was hearing that inner voice with food choices. And,
wow.
Again, on the outside, in my rational mind, in my mind, some of these food choices made no sense to me. Or maybe I didn't want to have them, you know, but I would just trust. And a lot of times my inner voice was saying regarding food choices, high-quality proteins, high-quality carbohydrates, vegetables, fruit, you know, all those whole grains. So I just really kind of began to trust that this inner voice truly wanted the highest and best for me. And I now, after 13 years of this, of trusting my inner voice, I don't argue anymore. I just go along with it, and it always leads me towards something amazing, towards something I would have never thought of or dreamt of for myself.
It's a total faith process, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. It is definitely faith. And it may just start with something very little. Just, you know, try the way to tap into that inner voice for those who have never heard it or they don't think they have heard it. One of the key things to really do is to quiet your mind. It's to quiet yourself, whether that means whether in your car, you maybe turn off the radio, or whether you're sitting, you know, by yourself in a room, whatever that may be, where you just really kind of allow yourself to listen to that voice inside you. Some may call it meditation. Some may call it, you know, it may look sound and look different. Some people do it through yoga, which is a beautiful practice. So really, really just the way to tap into it is through you're quiet, you're being quiet, because pretty soon the voices on the inside will become louder than all the voices on the outside.
Now, you know how, I'm sorry, Dan, to do this. This is coming right back to me. But that can sound crazy to people. Okay, it can sound, you know, because I hear what you're saying, and I get it. I do it every day. And I've done that process. You know, for me to sit still and be quiet, it's a hard task for me, as y'all can tell just from this interview. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's hard for people to, they're like, oh, this is crazy. You're talking about hogwash, you know, guru stuff. And it's like, it's more than that, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? It can be difficult to start. Yes, absolutely. Because we all have a monkey mind. Our society is set up to give us this monkey mind. I mean, think about all the advertising. Think about all the billboards, all the radio, all the TV. Everything is meant to confuse us and get us really kind of, you know, wrapped up into the outer world. So, yes, it can feel very uncomfortable at first. But I would just encourage people to just continue giving it a try, even if it starts off with 1 minute. Set a timer for 1 minute and just commit to sitting quietly for 1 minute without the TV, without the radio, without any distractions. And you know what? You're going to want to jump out of your skin. You just may want to jump out of your skin after this. But keeping on, you'll get more and more comfortable with yourself and more ideas and thoughts and epiphanies and inspiration will start coming to you the more you do this.
So, Dan, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
is this a process, like, do you have conversations with yourself, too, like this, or is Bronwyn just the only person that does that?
Well, what I do is, you know, usually I will, you know, let's say I'm getting a little stressed out about something. I will, say I'm thinking about something, I'm trying to work something out in my mind. Usually my approach is I'll either go for a – because I love hiking. And I like being outdoors in nature. So I usually do that. And, you know, taking long walks is kind of like this, you know, you're quieting down your mind and you're getting a chance to be able to listen to yourself, you know, what's going on. And so you're able to do that. It's very relaxing. You come back home, you feel like a different person. And the other thing that I do is I like bike riding a great deal. So I'll get on my bike and, you know, ride that bike across the Golden Gate Bridge and come back. When I'm done with those activities, I feel as though I can work better or work smarter, and I just have a better sense of the direction I need to take. That's really what I've been doing, you know, for a good number of years.
Well, Daniel, you bring up a good point, Daniel, because we truly, you know, every one of us is different, and you may hear it differently, because I love to hike, and I love to bike, and I love to do yoga, and I hear my inner voice during those times as well, which is wonderful. It doesn't have to look one particular way. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because for anyone who is just starting out on this, I would truly encourage them to start with something they love to do, like hiking or yoga or biking, whatever it may be that they love to do, because it's in those states of loving that they're going to hear their inner voice.
I think that's something very key, Bronwyn, because that's, I think people think they have to go out and, because, you know, my inner voice has been telling me to try yoga lately, and I'm fighting it, because I just can't sit still. I'm truly having a fight, internal conflict, because yoga keeps coming up, and here you are talking about it. I'm like, okay, inner voice, I hear you, but I'm not listening, because for me to sit down for more than 5 minutes, I go ballistic. I just can't stand it, you know. But I think you hit on something key for someone like me, because people that are kind of low, calm already, it's easy for them to sit and be still because they are naturally. Mm-hmm. But to do something that you really love and be in that space, because you're kind of living your life's purpose because you really love it, you're supposed to be doing it. Mm-hmm. So you're more in line with your inner self anyway, your higher self. So you're going to hear it better, I think. So I think that's interesting. And it could be anything. It could be drawing. It could be anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I used to do artwork, and I used to create and be really, you know, creative with my art and all that. And that's definitely a time where I felt very connected and in the zone, and with my writing as well. Gosh, as I was writing my ebook, It's About You, Not the Food, How Your Thoughts Determine Your Weight, that was all, it was like I was so connected, and just it felt like I was channeling this book because it truly was coming from my inner spirit.
Well, and you hit on something there too about that, because you were channeling the book. I mean, it's part of you, but I think you also hit on the fact that, by the way, Dan, just hearing you riding your bike across the bridge, I got jealous there, except for the riding. Just the view.
Oh, do you like you're a big bike rider?
No, I'm not. Listen, if I go to the gym just to work out, I'm down at the beach. I love to walk the beach, and I like to do the treadmill, and I like to be outside when it's, you know, that way. But it's like biking and hiking, it's not my gig. I like being I like working out, and I like being on a treadmill or being on the beach walking. That's about the extent of my extracurricular activity. But it's still all exercise. But I thought about the view crossing that bridge. I bet it's beautiful, but scary. There's a lot of traffic on that bridge, isn't it?
Oh, guess what, guys? We've got a caller on the line. So just one moment. Let me get the caller up here.
Great.
Caller, tell us your name and where you're calling from and your question for Bronwyn Marmot.
Hi, my name is Caitlin, and I'm in San Francisco.
Hi, Caitlin. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm enjoying the program. I'm actually calling for my friend because she's obese, and she heard that drinking water helps losing weight, and she wanted to know how much water she should be drinking. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Okay. Well, you know, water is definitely a very important component to all this. Our body needs water. So that's a given. But whether water is going to help you lose weight, just that one thing, one difference, I would be skeptical. It's a combination of things. It truly is about eating right, exercising in the way that you feel most comfortable, something that you will continue doing, and loving yourself. First and foremost, loving yourself. I had to love my body. When I was obese and when I started this journey, I had to love myself as I was right then.
Yes,
love myself
absolutely.
Inside and out. And it was due to me loving myself, which was a whole new concept because for decades I had beat myself up. So once I loved myself, I was able to release the weight because I started taking better care of myself.
Okay, I have a question for you on that. You hit
on
prior to the caller's call. It's the techniques and losing the weight and getting the right form and all that, that's not the challenge for people.
Yeah.
The challenge is getting in control of their life, getting in control of their thoughts. You said something earlier about how your thoughts created your weight. And I think this is what our listeners need to really get here. You hear that inner voice, and it's like whatever you plant, whatever seeds you plant, you're going to grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So And this is what in my workshops I talk about this because I said to people, because yes, I deal with the image and the outside and things like that, but I really am dealing more with the inside because I hear their pain, their low self-image, and what their frustrations are, and I hear their conversations that they're having, and they're planting negative thoughts.
Yeah.
So you're going to get negative output. You know, it's like I'll let the listeners kind of get an idea of what I'm saying. The dirt's going to grow whatever's planted in it. It's impersonal. It doesn't really care. And your subconscious mind is going to grow whatever you say to it. So I think the key thing is, like you said, first of all, get in control of your thoughts and
mm-hmm.
then love yourself from there. But I think also, like you talk about in your book, forgiveness, how important is forgiveness in this process?
Well, forgiveness is key because until we truly come to a point where we can forgive ourselves for the past, because we did the best we could in
mm-hmm.
the situation and the circumstances that we were in, forgive ourselves and love ourselves where we are right now. Now, let me tell you, when I first started this, I was shocked and appalled at the language and the thoughts that I had toward myself.
I bet you were.
I was, when I became conscious of what I was actually telling myself, I kept telling myself, you're never going to be able to lose weight. You're never
mm-hmm.
going to be able to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to be able to attract a man. You're never going to be, able to swim freely at the beach.
And what was your result? Overweight?
Well, and
never
guess
what? Never lose it, right?
I never was able to lose the weight because I had planted that subconscious in my mind. So once I noticed that I said that, I was able to stop that process by,
mm-hmm.
first of all, acknowledging it. First of all, going, oh, isn't that interesting? Well, that's actually not true because I really
mm-hmm.
can lose the weight. And I really
mm-hmm.
can have a better, more enriched, joyous life. So I had to take that one thought and not put a lot of energy in it, in fact, very little at all, but by just being inquisitive about where that came from and why do I feel that way, just inquiring minds want to know, just without
mm-hmm.
a lot of energy, because the more energy I would place on it, the more that was going to grow. But I wanted to focus my energy more on thriving in a healthy, happy body.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Well, I have a question for you as well, Bronwyn, and it relates to our thought processes and how we can change those negative thought processes. And I was wondering, well, how do we discover the source of our negative emotions? And I know that I believe in your ebook you make a few comments about that.
Absolutely. I take the reader through a 5-step process called the 5 P's to your perfect weight. And the first P is prayer. So prayer is where we really get in touch with what we want to create. What is it? How do you want to feel? And it's not about a number on a scale. It's not. Because that's just feeding into the diet mind. We're getting away from the diet mind and turning it into more the balanced health mind. But prayer offers the opportunity to ask for your heart's desire. This is the time to request exactly what you want your life and your body to look and feel like. So when I ask my clients, what is it you really want to create? That's actually a hard question for most people. Because
all along,
all these years, they've been going, I just want to lose weight. I just want to lose weight. I just want to be thin. Well, what does that mean to you? And then the key is to really get clear. Write down exactly what that means for you. Then the next thing is to have a plan. And your plan is a tool that supports what you have asked for in your prayer. So you've got to have some sort of a roadmap to get there, something that you create, not something that is given to you by the outside world. This is something, again, like when I first started and I, kept hearing, get on your shoes and socks, go for a walk, and I kept hearing about different food choices. This became my plan because it came from me and I was able to really embrace it and love it and continue with it because it came from me. If someone else were to tell me what to eat, when to eat, when to go exercise, I would rebel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the toddler in me would just rebel.
Right.
And I wouldn't do it. And if I did, maybe I'd white-knuckle it for a week or two. But then I would just throw up my hands and go and do what I wanted in rebellion. So the third thing is to persevere. And you know what? We all go through phases where we just stop believing whether we can really do this. But perseverance means believing you already have your desired outcome of thriving in your perfect weight body. So it's keeping the faith like we talked about earlier. It's really about keeping the faith that, yes, you can do it. And, you know, it's not just so much like positive thinking. I mean, although that's a good start.
It's deeper
than that. But
it's
not just in your head going, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, and not doing any action or anything, any carrying emotion around it. It's when we have emotion around what we're saying, the affirmation, that's when it becomes powerful.
Mm.
So really feel yourself doing and being the person you want. And you say to yourself, I will not give up until the desired outcome of achieving my natural weight is my reality. And then you follow it up with, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all my heart's desires are already accomplished, even if I can't actually see them right now. Now, I know that for some people out there are going to go, wow, that takes a lot of faith to do that. But that's the first step, is really believing that it's happened before it's brought into your reality. Because then what happens is the fourth P is patience. And patience is saying that we stay connected. And, you know, a lot of us, I'm sure we've been discouraged or exasperated because the weight was not coming off fast enough. Well, actually, that's a gift. It's a gift because a lot of people lose weight and then they gain it back because they haven't gotten to know themselves. It's like they feel vulnerable or scared. And then the final one is the payoff. And what's cool about the payoff is when that happens, your perfect weight is brought into the physical reality. But what you learn when you get to the payoff is that it's been there all along. You really have been living your perfect weight because you've imagined it. You've faced yourself, you've imagined yourself, and you've trusted yourself. That's how it happens. And that actually, that concept of fit, F-I-T, face yourself, imagine yourself, and trust yourself, is the basis for this film that I'm in called The Inner Way. And it's W-E-I-G-H. And people can go to theinnerwaymovie.com to see the trailer. And it's an amazing movie about how using your mind to get the body you've always wanted.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty powerful, isn't it, Dan?
Yes, it is.
But
and when is this
question,
movie going to be coming out? When is it going to be released?
It's actually, we're in pre-sale right now, and it'll be ready for shipping at the end of the month. So it'll be on DVDs, but we are taking pre-sales. In fact, we're offering a $5 discount off the price of the DVD right now through the end of Thanksgiving weekend. So I would encourage everyone to go there. I know, Daniel, I believe you're going to be able to put a link up on your website to the Inner Way.
Yes, absolutely. We'll have a link to that on our artofvintage.posteris.com website. There'll be a link to that and a link to your website as well.
Great. Well, thank you. And you know, this film truly is it's a project I've been involved with for the past 3 years. And not only am I one of the featured experts in the film, but I'm also the associate producer. So I'm like feel so blessed and honored to be a part of this. But there are others, well-known people, Bob Proctor, Gay Hendricks, Mary Manon Morrissey, Renee Stevens. There's a lot of well-known experts who are featured in this film. And I would encourage anyone who has been struggling with their weight to take a look at this at the website, watch the trailer, and make their decision whether they want to buy it. I think it's a tool that I will offer, you know, in all my coaching now. I just can't even imagine not including this as part of my program.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this movie also going to be at the box office at some point as well, or?
Not at this time, but, you know, we're always open. We're doing screenings around the country at different locations, not necessarily in box office theaters, but in different churches and venues around the country. It's a very powerful, powerful film and will just touch the hearts of anyone who has struggled with this issue, because it truly gives solution after solution after solution on how to help yourself shift your mind from the outer way, W-E-I-G-H, to the inner way, W-E-I-G-H. And if you wouldn't mind, do we have just a few seconds? I can just kind of give the audience a little idea on what the outer way sounds like as opposed to the inner way. Do we have time?
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, well, just to help people, because, you know, the whole diet mentality is so prevalent and so strong, we don't even recognize what maybe another way would look like. So the outer way says, I am restricting my food for a certain period of time. That's the diet mentality. Where the inner way says, this is a journey, a lifestyle change that is achieved one day at a time. Then the outer way says, I have to control my eating. That's what I did for decades. Well, the inner way is, I'm giving up control and allowing the inner intelligence of my body to guide me. Can you hear the difference there? Can you hear just such a shift in the way you would treat yourself, in the way you talk to yourself, in the inner way?
Well, you're planting a totally different seed, so you're going to get a totally different outcome.
Absolutely. And like, here's another one. The outer way says, my focus is on the physical aspects. And don't we all do that? You know, we all look at the how much weight can I lose and how fast can I lose it? While the inner way says, my focus is on the emotional and spiritual wholeness that leads to a healthier physical body.
Do you know what my inner voice just told me?
What?
That those thoughts, the word that just came screaming at me, it was toxic. Those outer way thoughts, if people can understand those negative thoughts, or even call it ego thoughts, which I think it's ego, it's so toxic.
Yes.
And so when you get toxins into your body, what does it do? It kills you. And when you have toxic thoughts in your body, in your brain, your mind, it also kills you.
Yes.
You know, maybe not physically, but you die within.
Absolutely. I was dead, and I think a lot of us walk around dead. For me, it was like debilitating. I could not get up in the morning because I had these thoughts. And like another one that I just, the outer way said, I obsess about every bite I put in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I am strict about counting calories and often feel a lot of shame and guilt around food. That's the way I used to feel, but now the inner way tells me, I eat for fuel and nourishment and trust that my body receives the perfect number of calories to maintain my natural weight. So you see, I never have to struggle with my weight again because I believe so deeply that my body will naturally bring me to where I'm supposed to be. And by listening to that inner voice, I've maintained the weight loss for 13 years.
You know, this sounds a lot like Law of Attraction the Law of Attraction book.
Yes.
You know, that came out recently for weight, in terms of weight loss.
Absolutely,
and
our film was inspired by The Secret.
Yeah,
It's so powerful. I can't wait for everyone to see it for when it's actually out. But as I mentioned, pre-sales are going on now, and I'd love for all of your listeners to really get in on that discount that we're having.
Bronwyn?
Because, yes.
Bronwyn, I don't want to, but we're running out of time. I do want to make sure that for those listeners who want to get a hold of your movie, please give them information on how to get that film, and if you'd like, how to contact you if they have any more questions.
Absolutely. I would love it. Thank you. The website for The Inner Way is www.theinnerwaymovie.com. And for to reach me directly, it is you can go to my website, which is lovethebodyyouhave.com. And my email address is Bronwyn@BronwynMarmo.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Bronwyn, for being a guest on our show. And we look forward to having you back at some point in the future, if that's all
absolutely
right with you.
Absolutely. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
Loved
I would
it.
Love to. Thank you very much. And, you know, I so appreciate you having me on today. I love your energy. You guys are so much fun. This has really made my day.
Great.
Well, you made our day, too. All right,
and
goodbye,
I also
want
to
thank
remind
you.
The listeners yeah. that next week we're going to have an exciting show on Laban body movement analysis. And this is how we can efficiently move our body in our space to have a more successful day, a more successful personal image. And I think, you know, we were talking earlier in the show, Parker, you mentioned chiropractic. And
right.
we might incorporate the chiropractor you know of in that show to have both of them on, see what the effect of that would be. What do you think about that?
I think it'd be a great idea. I think it's I'm excited about that show because that's something that I've not explored the way that they position it, and I think that would be great. You know, I could learn a lot from that as well. But I think having them together could be very interesting.
Sounds good. Any further thoughts from either one of you? And one other thing I want to let people know is that they can contact Parker with any other questions they have. And go ahead, Parker, let them know how to contact you.
Just send me an email at parker@shuvagroup. That's C-H-U-V as in Victor, A as in Apple, group.com. And I'll get right back to you. And I just want to say one thing. This whole talk is very powerful. I think what I give to most people is that you got to get in control of your life, you know, before you start looking outside. And I think the process you used for this ebook is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
And I'll give you a call this afternoon and we'll talk some more.
Thank you.
But I'd also like to, I'll talk to you later on, and we'll talk about putting your information on our website, too, so our listeners can go to our site. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Art of Image. I'm Dan Phillips.